All right, we are live with Alexander Mercuris in London. Alexander, how you doing?
I'm doing very well and very delighted to be doing a live here again.
All right, let's get started. Let's say a quick hello to everyone that is watching us on Rockfin, on Odyssey, on Rumble, and theduran.locals.com. Thank you for joining us. And to our, did I miss a platform? No, I've got Odyssey, Rumble, Rockfin, theduran.locals.com, YouTube. Hello to everyone on YouTube as well. Definitely check out our Locals community. I have a link for that down below. Alexander will be doing his Locals live stream tomorrow. What time do you do the live
Absolutely.
stream, Alexander?
So 1400 hours EST, 1900 hours London time.
All right. Great. So definitely join up to Locals and catch Alexander's live stream tomorrow. That is only on theduran.locals.com. Hello to our moderators in the YouTube chat. Zariel, how goes it? Who else? I think I saw Peter in the house as well. So thank you to our moderators in the YouTube chat. And Alexander, let's get questions from everybody that is watching today's show. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world, but what do you think everyone should be keeping their eye out for? Tomahawks, Venezuela, Iran, Gaza, flotilla, 20-point peace plan, Portland, Oregon. What are you looking
I
for?
mean, all of those things. I mean, this is one of those times when all of these things are important. And each of them is a big story in itself. I mean, if we are heading back towards a war with Iran, and Trump has been making fiery statements now, which again suggests that we are. And he's made another statement about Tomahawk missiles, which you can interpret all kinds of different ways, but you can certainly interpret it in an ominous way. Well, these are very, very big things. I would say that perhaps for someone who lives in Western Europe, the biggest story for me personally is the collapse politically in France of Emmanuel Macron. And there is now a huge amount of pressure on him to step down. His political allies, Le Cornu, Edouard Philippe, Gabriel Attal, all seem to be deserting him and are telling him to step down. And this is a hugely important event in modern French politics and possibly history. And it might be an important event in Europe. But of course, it's all connected to all of those other things that you were talking about as well. But, that's perhaps what's held my greatest attention over the last 24 hours. And to the extent that I still have contacts in France, I've been working with them and trying to find out what they think about the situation as it's evolving now.
Thank you, Missy Elliott, for that tip on Rockfin. And Dimitri Front one says on Rumble, today is President Putin's birthday. He's
That's right.
73rd birthday.
Absolutely,
Thank you for
absolutely true.
remembering.
Notice that he is the only leader of any country in Europe who is confidently and entirely in control. All of the others are being challenged. I mean, Macron is collapsing. Merz is massively unpopular. Starmer is massively unpopular. Meloni, I think, is sliding. Viktor Orban and Vučić from the other side are being challenged. I think they will both see off these challenges, but even those leaders face challenges. Whereas Putin is in assured command of his country. And this after, what is it, 26 years in at his head. It's an extraordinary, extraordinary achievement by any measure.
Well, we'll discuss about Putin, and his challenge is now coming from Trump and the Tomahawks.
Yes.
So that is challenging Putin.
Yes.
And we'll see if the Tomahawks are going to be delivered to Ukraine.
Yes.
As you said, Trump's statement can be interpreted in two ways. Either the Tomahawks have been given, will be given, or they're not. So I think that's pretty much what you could take from Trump's statement. And Putin is going to be challenged by the Tomahawks if they are given to Ukraine, because it's the United States that's going to be firing those Tomahawks. And Putin's going to have to make a decision if he takes a harder line against the United States, or if he continues down they are our partners and our friends path. So I'm sure we'll discuss that as the stream goes on. I don't know if you want to.
Yes. Well, I think he's already said clearly now that whatever happens, the partners and friends and all of that would end. I mean, I think he said this twice. He said this at Valdai, and as we've further discussed later in the program, he also said this again in an interview he gave to Zarubit, the key journalist in Russia. So I don't think it's any longer a question of whether it would be partners and friends. It's whether the Russians will take any further action beyond that. And in his second set of comments, he left the door open for possible further action. But whether they will take it is something we'll have to wait and see. But I think he's made it quite clear now that if Tomahawks are delivered to Ukraine, partners and friends is ended.
From Nikos Duran, can we just admit what a disgrace Greece has been throughout this conflict? I saw in a recent poll that the majority of Greeks see their future with Russia, and yet the government is paralyzed.
Well, I mean, I don't know that it's paralyzed. I think it's actively pro-American. But in every other respect, I agree completely, Nikos, with what you say. And yes, it has been deplorable. But I'm sure that the people in the government will say that they have no real choice. I don't agree with them. I think, on the contrary, I think they do have a choice. And I think they've made the wrong choice. And as you absolutely rightly say, it's a policy which goes completely against the wishes of the majority of the Greek people. But the government will argue that they have no choice. They have to stand with the United States and with Europe, and that Greece would suffer if they did not. And of course, within Greece, and this is something one should never overlook, there is a very, very strong Atlanticist community that wants to keep Greece anchored in Europe and anchored in the United States. And I know all about those people, because they are the class that I once belonged to.
The NGOs, the think tanks, universities, the media, especially the media.
The media. But, you know, a lot of what you might call the old oligarchy as well.
Yeah,
I mean, they were bought up by the Americans long, long ago.
Yeah. Let's get some more questions in, Alexander. Let's hit that like, everybody, if you're watching this video on YouTube and on Rumble. Hit that like. Let's try to smash the YouTube algorithm. Nikos said, you made a scathing video about Russia and Putin, especially Alex. Do you think that Putin not only won't have a last term, but is risking replacement?
No, I don't think he's risking replacement. I don't know what his plans are about a following term. But, I mean, there is a view which is gaining power in Russia, and which clearly now has found its expression at the highest levels from within the elite, that he has been altogether too accommodating. And it's focusing on two specific points. Firstly, Ukrainian membership of the EU, because Putin has up to now said that the Russians not only don't object to it, but at some level even support it. And Putin has now been challenged three times publicly by journalists who clearly been put up to do it about that. They pushed back and said, why are we even talking about this? Don't you see what the EU is? Don't you see what a extremely anti-Russian organization it is, and how it is evolving to be something completely different from the economic and trade and business agreement that you pretend, you continue to say that it is. So Putin is under pressure on that issue. And of course, the Tomahawk issue is also in play as well. And it was clear to me from the reaction of senior people in Russia when he returned from the Anchorage summit that there's a significant group within the top Russian leadership who are not convinced that there's any point in maintaining this dialogue with Donald Trump and with the Americans at all. So I think he's under pressure from that. And as I've repeatedly said, when it comes down to, you know, to putting the cards on the table, to putting the chips on the table, Putin always ultimately adapts his position to pressure from the majority. And I think there is now a clear majority within the Russian leadership, within the US, Russian Security Council, pushing him in this more hardline direction.
Josie S. says, good day, Alexander and Alex. We are seeing the Ukrainization of Europe and the West, pathological lying, hatred of Russians, and leaders speaking of democracy while doing the opposite. Have we ever seen such a level before in history?
Never, not once, not even during the, you know, the worst periods. I mean, obviously you would find it in some places, but not on this scale. And by the way, and for the record, you'd say the Ukrainianization of Europe, the Russians have recently taken to calling Germany Greater Estonia. So that tells you what they think of Germany at the moment.
Sajeva says, congratulations, Durant, for achieving 500,000 subscribers despite the shadow ban and all obstacles put in your path. Hearty cheers. Thank you, Sajeva, so much. Thank you for everybody that that supports us, that supported us, and helped us all get to half a million. Let's go for a million. Can we get there in the next 3, 4, 5 years? let's hope so. All right. Thank you, Sajeva, for that. Nikos says, the left, after all they've done to culture and society, want us to forgive them for Charlie Kirk's murder. I wish I was better. I was a better man, but I hate them. I will never forgive the left for destroying culture and contributing to my depression. Their ideology is Marxism in its final form. They are the enemy.
Are they asking for forgiveness for Charlie Kirk's murder? Because I don't see any sign of them doing anything of the kind. Some of them continue to revel in him. A few of them continue to say, well, he had it coming. Still others say, well, you know, it's very bad that he was killed, but he was this religious zealot and fanatic. And, you know, we shouldn't overlook what a frankly terrible person he was. I don't see much sign of, you know, a desire for forgiveness there. Just saying.
Red Panda Pie says, to the both of you, thank you truly for what you do. I'd rather know the truth than live in a lie, but it takes a toll on me. I lose hope. Mm-hmm. How do you both deal with all the negativity in the news and keep going for so long?
Well, it's what we do. We have to do it because, you know, that's interesting for us. And we retain our sense of humor. That's what Alex does every day on his shows. And to some extent, I do it too.
Nico says, the commies from the USSR like Kaya Kallas have merged with the Nazis like Baerbock to create what we call globalists today. They are just neo-Marxists with the same hive mind cult-like mentality to rule.
Well, I'm going to say this, and I think that Kaya Kallas... I can tell you for an absolute fact, because I remember the Soviet Union very well, she wouldn't have lasted a week within the Soviet apparatus. whatever they were, and, you know, I'm not here to defend them, they would not have tolerated a imbecile like Kaya Kallas in their midst. It is truly remarkable that she has achieved the position that she has in Western affairs, And I agree that, you know, Kaja Kallas and Annalena Baerbock, who to me are birds of a feather to the extent that they embody the reality of Europe and the West today. Well, it is a shocking thought that this is where we have fallen to.
From Iranian kiddo, data from the FBI and other sources for the past 30 years consistently indicates that a majority of domestic terrorist attacks been carried by people with right-wing mentality. That's an irrefutable fact.
Well, maybe, but I haven't seen any proof of this. I mean, the latest violent incidents in the United States are people from what I would refer to as the New Left. Two assassination attempts on Donald Trump, an attempted assassination of Kavanaugh, the US Supreme Court Justice, other attacks on Congress people, and of course the Kirk killing. Just saying.
Sparky says, great work as always. Congratulations on 500,000 subscribers. Keep on trucking. Thank you, Sparky, for that. Fuzzy Ball says, how much longer can the collective West deny that their weapons levels are at a critical level? Russia essentially has demilitarized NATO.
Well, you know, they're not denying it, but, you know, they still don't want to change course. Brian Beletic sent me an incredible article, which was written by one of these neocon disciples of Aaron West Mitchell, who is the neocon chief, if you like, their grand strategist for War on the Rocks, which is another one of these very strange journals that proliferate in the US. And it actually straightforwardly says, you know, our inventories are very depleted. So what is the response? What must we do in light of the fact that our inventories are very depleted? We must intensify our pressure on Russia. We must escalate the war still further. We must seek more sanctions and arm Ukraine still more. And we've got 4 years in which to do this before the situation in the world turns decisively against us. I mean, you know, it's very strange reading these things, because the opposite of what one would expect that they would want is happening. They're disarming. But instead of, you know, instead of reversing course and seeking a pause so that they can rearm, what they do is want to escalate instead.
Yeah, I believe that article that Brian sent us has the timeline for the Europeans to start the war at 2027, yeah. Right?
That's right.
I remember, to get the war starting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 2027. So that's the timeline that they've put out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Haruko,
it's
thank you for
bizarre.
That.
Very, yeah. Very troubled article. Very, so it's, yeah, it's I very, think, crazy yeah. article.
Yeah. Well, the Europeans are going along with it.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, so, you know. Haruko, thank you for that super sticker. Iranian Kiddo says, FBI has found no connection between the alleged shooter and any left-wing groups, despite conservatives insisting otherwise. We know for a fact that his family are conservative registered Republicans.
Yes. So what are you implying, that he's a conservative? I mean, I don't know. I mean, again, first of all, you're talking about an investigation that is still underway. I understand this person has made his own beliefs and ideas fairly clear, and they tend to be clearly on what I always refer to as the new left. Whether he's connected to other groups or not remains to be seen. And given the history of the FBI over the last couple of years, given the way it promoted, for example, Russiagate and all of those things, I'd be a little bit careful in assuming that what they say is necessarily gospel truth. Just saying.
Matthew says, do you think the USA will greenlight the Tomahawk? So what do you think, Alexander, from Trump's statement? Do you think it's option A, that he's not going to give the tomahawks, but he's just trying to muddy the waters, trying to confuse people because he knows that there'll be a lot of neocons that'll be very upset? Or do you think it's option B, he has given the tomahawks and he's playing dumb when he puts out statements like, I want to speak with them to see what they're going to do with the tomahawks. And stuff. I mean, that was just a ridiculous statement.
Well, it is a ridiculous thing because, of course, he knows exactly what they're going to do with the tomahawks. But what I want to say is simply this. On its face, the statement says that he has not made a decision to supply the tomahawks and that the tomahawks have not been supplied. If he wants to hear more from the Ukrainians and doesn't want to escalate the war, which is what he also said, then on that basis, he has not yet made a decision to supply the tomahawks, and he should not supply the tomahawks. Who can assume that that is the correct interpretation? I don't. I mean, with Trump, you never know, because as you've said many times, deception and trickery is part of what this administration does.
Unfortunately, that's their foreign policy, one of trickery. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is. Matthew says, is Europe rearming just a wealth transfer exercise, or do they actually plan on going to war with Russia?
I think you're quite right. I think it's what it is. It's a wealth transfer exercise. But in order to carry it out, you have to increase hysteria to improbably high levels. You have to set up situations, you know, conflict type situations, like, you know, you talk up the question of drones. Notice that nobody's been able to prove that any of these more recent drones, the ones that are flying over Germany, Copenhagen or wherever, have anything to do with Russia at all. But you have to start doing all of this in order to keep this war atmosphere high. And of course, that can itself lead to war, because the Russians are seeing this, the Russians are hearing this, they're saying to themselves, well, how do we know for a fact that this is all just about money? Maybe they are planning war, and if they're planning war, maybe we do need to take steps to prepare for that. And if we start taking steps preparing for that, maybe they will respond to some of those steps, and you can easily see how the escalation spiral can get out of control.
No, you have to act as if they're preparing for war.
Well,
you
absolutely.
Have to. There's no choice. Even you if they're joking, even if they're messing around, this is all about the grift.
Yeah.
You have to take it as if they're serious. Exactly. I mean, you have no other choice there.
You have no other choice. Exactly.
Jay Listo says, hello, Alex Alexander. Do you think the rumors of a UK nautical false flag are credible? And where do these rumors originate?
Well, I think they're entirely credible. I don't know that they're true. That is a different thing. But given the British addiction to James Bond type of activities, how can one say that they are not true? I mean, you know, I don't know. There has not been a clear, straightforward denial from the British government about them. And having said that, the provenance of these rumours is difficult to gauge. I would not be surprised if they originate ultimately from Russian intelligence. Maybe we shouldn't take those because of the provenance. One shouldn't assume that these rumors are true, but they form part of this rather tangled, very ugly background atmosphere that we have to cope with all the time.
Zariel says, congrats on passing 500,000 subs, gentlemen. Thank you, Zariel, for that. OG Wall says, good day, gents and chat. Thank you for that. Commander Crossfire says, congratulations on 500,000 subs. Spread the word. Thank you for that, Commander Crossfire. Absolutely. Spread the word. Smash the like. Jim says, is it true that Israelis are buying real estate in Cyprus in droves? How far will the U.S. go to support Israel? Thank you.
Every live stream, you get asked this question.
Yeah, I've answered it like 100 times. they're buying a lot of real estate, as are Ukrainians, as are a lot of countries. But Israel has been buying a lot of real estate for the last 10 years, I would say, as the Russians used to be buying a lot of real estate until the sanctions. And then the sanctions kicked in, and we'd be getting more of an uptick, I would say, in Ukrainian, a lot of Ukrainian money, and German, and always the British. We always have the British investing in Cyprus.
Yes.
Alexander, you want to answer the second part? How far would the U.S. go to support Israel?
All the way, I think. That's my concern. Mm-hmm. I see no sign that they're holding back on anything else, further.
All the way, Jim, all the way. And Trump said as much when he was with Netanyahu and they were presenting the 20-point peace plan. He said it. If Hamas does not agree, or if something happens to the plan, he said, you guys have my blessing, my green light to go all the way. You have our support. So, yeah, Trump answered that question. Zisi Karayanis, thank you for that super sticker. Miriana, thank you for that super sticker. JD, thank you for that super sticker. Eric Hatchett, thank you for that super chat. Unvaccinated guy says, I think the U.S. plan is going to take over Venezuela's government and make a choke point to stop immigration through Central America.
Well, I think the U.S. plan is to take over Venezuela's government, gain control of all the oil and the gas that Venezuela has, and then use that for greater leverage in geopolitical affairs. Immigration may play some role in it, but I think mostly, and I really do believe this is about oil.
I think the New York Times article, I don't know if you've read it, Alexander, where it talks about the diplomacy breaking off and how Richard Grenell has not been told to break off any dialogue he had with Maduro. In that New York Times article, it actually talks about how Rubio and Grenell and Trump are frustrated with the fact that Maduro doesn't step aside and just give over the oil. I mean, they actually talk about the oil in that article. And so that article hints at, actually doesn't even hint, it points to an operation happening.
Yes.
So,
I mean, bear something in mind. The United States is going to become an oil importer again fairly soon. We are at peak oil production in the United States. It's going to start declining soon. And the United States has made all kinds of commitments to supply oil to all kinds of other parties, Europeans, for example. So they need a reliable source of oil, not oil just from the Middle East, for example, where the governments there are perhaps not quite as friendly to the United States and reliable as they used to be. So Venezuela is the obvious place.
Red Viking says, I support Trump and Russia. My head explodes. Alexander G says, happy birthday to Putin, 73 today. Thank you for that, Alexander G. Axel O says, is the EU going to successfully swap Russian cold cash with bad unpaid euro bonds without a blowback as is planned? Both are cash equivalents in income.
Well, I mean, there will be a blowback. There already is. Every day in Europe, we suffer from the blowback of the various things that have been done. I mean, people talk about the effect of outright seizure of the Russian sovereign assets. People overlook the fact that the freezing of the Russian Soviet sovereign assets has already had an effect. The euro used to be traded as the second reserve currency following the dollar. It's now trading below gold. It's now used less than gold in international transactions. So it is going to have, these further moves are going to have an effect. Whether it will be, a major, big, dramatic event, people pulling out their money from Europe, a banking crisis, that kind of thing, I don't know. But in some ways, a slow motion withdrawal from Europe of international capital would be even worse, because a dramatic collapse might galvanize people into doing something and reversing course. Whereas if you just let things continue gradually, they will continue to get worse, worse and worse. And then it will be much more difficult to reverse it. You see this with the gas. When the gas stopped coming, people said, well, we got through. There wasn't the complete collapse of European industry that some people feared. Well, European industry is collapsing, but it's happening gradually. And in some ways, that is even more insidious and even more difficult to deal with.
Yeah. You see it with France.
Yeah.
Five prime ministers in since 2022. If they had just ripped the Band-Aid off and gotten rid of Macron back then, France would be in a much better position.
A much better position. Exactly. Yeah.
Boa Mega 22 says, if the Peewee takes delivery of Tomahawks Do you think the capital cities will enjoy the gift of several new hazelnut trees from Moscow? Maybe they like Cherenkov blue glows on the skylines.
I come back to what I said before. I think that here the pressure is in Moscow is on Putin. Now, again, to repeat, he's been leader of Russia for 26 years, and he's been able to stay leader of Russia because he knows when to bend. So he pursued for a very, very long time a policy of good relations, rapprochement with the Europeans. That's why he went through the whole Minsk process. But eventually, he did launch the special military operation. And I think we will get to the same point with the United States if we continue to see things like the Tomahawks being supplied.
Josie S. says, another question, Alex Alexander. What about the teams and circles around the ruling elites in EU countries and the EU parliament? How many of these people really support their leaders, like Ursula, Merz, Macron, Stammer, etc.? Do they truly believe in their madness, or are they just staying silent to protect their positions and salaries? What percentage fall into each group? Thank you.
There is a significant minority of people, perhaps even a majority of people from within the bureaucracies, you know, intelligent, educated, clever people who understand that what they are living through is a march of folly. I mean, you know, I know this is certainly true in Britain, that there is no shortage of people within the British government who are saying to themselves, this is madness. What are we doing? But those people who have overall control, the key people, the people in the key positions, are the ones who will see this, who are determined to see this continue and to see it through, because their own positions are bound up with it. So, yes, there are doubters, but they are not strong enough to change the policy overall.
Elsa says, thank you for your great work, gentlemen. Thank you for that. Matthew says, do you think this will spiral into a wider war?
No, I think in the end it won't. But that's only a thought. It is not knowledge or a certainty.
Unvaccinated guy says, how do you square the circle? USA disdain for Cuba with sanctions. And also, how do we have Guantanamo Bay in Cuba? Seems an oxymoron.
Well, Guantanamo was, the United States gained control of Guantanamo, the base there, as a result of the War of 1898. It was given to the United States as a kind of perpetual lease. Castro was always very unhappy about it, but never felt that he wanted to challenge it directly. Cuba does not accept the rent the United States offers to pay for it, which is a nominal amount, by the way. So this is the story of Guantanamo, Guantanamo Bay. The town of Guantanamo is under Cuban control. The base is under American control.
Lorna Dodd, thank you for that super sticker. William says, any comment about Nathan Gill pro-Russian story? As far as I know, zero to do with Russians, but a Ukrainian, Alistair Campbell, can't help going on and on about reform as Russian stooges.
Well, agreed. I mean, you know, this story has been, they've kept it going for as long as possible. This, by the way, this is a person who has took money apparently without knowing what his provenance was.
Right.
It's now been traced back to some kind of Russian origin. But, you know, they've been trying to do this forever. They've been trying to do this the same with Farage. They tried to do this especially with the businessman Aaron Banks, who is married to a Russian wife and who's a friend and supporter of Farage. And Aaron Banks had to bring multiple legal actions in the end to clear his name, but still that insinuation continues to be made. And I'm not at all surprised that Alistair Campbell is one of the people who's promoting it. I think within Britain, outside of the bubble of the political class, nobody takes it seriously.
Sir Mugs Game says, be wary of a paper tiger cuts sting like MF.
Yeah, true enough.
True. Madeline Takam says, I don't believe you chaps have mentioned France has just lost Africa. French Treasury holds about 50% of the foreign exchange reserves for 14 African countries, approximately 9.5 to 10 billion. We have decided to write it off.
We haven't not mentioned it. We've actually done programs about it, but it's true we haven't done programs about it for a while, and we haven't perhaps given it as much attention as the subject in itself deserves. But then bear in mind how busy the news is. So it's been difficult to keep up with everything and to cover that too. But you're absolutely correct. France has suffered a major political defeat in West Africa. Macron himself has taken it very, very badly, and it's upset an awful lot of people in France, and it does have economic consequences in France.
Iranian Kiddo says, if I may ask, Alexander said on a Q&A that Charlie Kirk's comments are misinterpreted by others. How can one misinterpret a guy who referred to LGBT people as abomination and called for trans people to be institutionalized?
Yeah. I mean, you say this. I mean, I haven't seen that quote. I know that it's been quoted, but I've never seen him actually say it. And it could very well be, because I know that this happens all the time, that things are attributed to him, which he has not said. Also, the other thing to say about Charlie Kirk is that this is a person who changed and developed his views all the time. He changed his views on Israel, for example, on the Gaza war. So, you know, I'm not saying that he ever said anything like that, but I also would not be surprised if his views on those kind of questions changed too. Why are you so, you know, fixed on this? Surely the most important thing about Charlie Kirk, for me, the two simple, most important facts about Charlie Kirk are these. Firstly, he went to universities and argued and debated in a civil way with people who disagreed with him. I mean, that isn't very common today. And the second thing is that he was killed whilst he was doing it.
Yeah. David Badarosa says, today is the anniversary of October 7th. According to Militkowski, let it happen. Everyone who's been to Israel, this is a fact. Would be great if that could be a topic for tomorrow's live chat on Locals.
Well, maybe.
For you, Alexander, tomorrow. Yeah. Bring up the question and the topic if you're in the chat tomorrow.
Well, it's often we often talk about those things on
Locals. Yeah, the Locals chat is it talks about a lot of different topics, the live stream. So yeah, definitely it's a good topic for tomorrow. Colin says, can you guys comment on recent news that Germany is raising the retirement age to 73? Is this the new normal? Yeah. Will the USA do this eventually? And the implications.
Well, I mean, basically work until you drop to pay off the debts for all the money we're borrowing in order to fund Zelensky and ourselves. To fund Zelensky. It's because we're broke. This is why we're doing it. I mean, and it's going to be deeply unpopular, but that's the reason.
Yeah. Work until you drop so the money can go to Zelensky. That's what Merz is telling everybody in Germany.
Yes.
So, you know, do you want to go with that or not? Iranian Kiddo says, Kirk also said that women should prioritize marriage at a young age and have kids over pursuing a career. He also said there's no such a thing as Palestinians. That's just some of his vile remarks.
His wife has disputed strongly the first comment and has pointed out that she not only works, but is the CEO of several companies and has set them up. So it looks as if that allegation, that quote from him, was either not made or has been completely distorted and taken out of context. As for what he may have said about the Palestinians, well, we know that he changed his views. Now, again, I don't know why you are focusing on this all the time. As I said, Charlie Kirk is a human being. No doubt he said many things over the course of his short life. Some of the things we would not agree with, some of the things we would strongly dispute. What are you trying to imply from this? That he deserved to be killed?
Kulinow said, while I think the left are useful idiots, it may be that the left did not actually kill Kirk, and it may be that it was a state SS op. FBI story is bad.
We don't know. There is an investigation. If you want to go to somebody who's discussing and exploring and doing all of the commentary about the investigation, I think in a much more informed way than I ever can do, go to Larry Johnson, because Larry Johnson knows about firearms. I know absolutely nothing about firearms. He's able to discuss the weapons, the bullets that were used, all of those kind of things. What I always say is, presumably at some point there will be charges. Let's see what the case is when the charges are brought.
Let's see. Did we answer this from Fuzzy Balls? How much longer can the collective West deny that their weapons? Oh, yeah,
we have.
Yes, yeah. We did. Loa Levy says, who would you rather have as prime minister and why? Callis, van der Leyen, or Mertz?
this is a tough question. Who of those three? Well, can I answer none Callis. Of the above? Yeah, well, at least you'd be funny. I mean, it would be very fun.
At least, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Sanjeva says, India is negotiating 5 packages of S-400 systems and Su-57 fighters. If those are successful, then it will be a permanent pivot back from India. Also, senior diplomat Dixit said that support for Russia is bipartisan in India.
Yes, I think this is all true. Wolfgang Monschau, who has left the Financial Times and has now set up Eurasian Intelligence, and who is one of the most insightful people, he's just been to India, and he's talked to many people in India, and he makes absolutely clear that as far as for the people, the very well-connected people in the Indian government that he has spoken to, what happened in August was a turning point, that already the relations with the US were becoming more strained, but they decided from that moment on that the only game in town for India has to be BRICS. So they have to work out something with China. And in the meantime, they must deepen their relations with the Russians. So Putin is coming to India in a few weeks' time. And there's going to be all of these massive deals done. And this is the arms side of the deals, which is going to be massive and which will infuriate and upset the Americans. But I suspect there will be many more economic deals too.
Patrick, thank you for that super chat. Commando Crossfire says, let's not forget that 27 million commies died fighting fascism and liberating Europe. The Red Scare merged the words to demonize the heroes.
I agree with that, obviously. I mean, I don't know how many of those 27 million were communists, but if you're talking about Soviet citizens who fought for a communist country, a socialist country, which is the Soviet Union, absolutely, that is unquestionably true. And all of us owe them a huge debt for the democracy and liberty and survival that we have.
Nico says, congratulations for the 500,000 subscribers. I'll try to support you unless Google Play will suspend my profiles again. Yeah, I was canceled. Thank you, Nico. Sorry to hear you were canceled once, but hopefully you don't get canceled again. Brian Tarmack says, are we seeing the same playbook as we did at the outset of World War I, World War II? Haven't there been... learnt anything since the last century?
No, it seems not. Now, I think that the situation, while it does have some similarities to what existed in the 1930s, is still actually very different. I don't think we have a personality at the center of decisions like Hitler was in the late 30s, for example. But I do think that it does bear very, very alarming resemblance to what happened on the eve of the First World War. I don't think anybody actually wants a kinetic war, a full-scale war. But they're playing a very, very dangerous game of bluff, as they basically were doing before the First World War. And it could, just as it did then, very quickly spiral out of control.
And the people playing the game are a lot dumber.
A lot dumber.
A lot dumber.
Yeah. Far, far dumber, yeah.
Sanjeva says, these regime changes done by the U.S. State Department in South Asia is utterly evil. Many people live on the margin on daily wages, and revolutions like this increase poverty and brain drain. Bangladesh is now near bankruptcy.
Yes, absolutely. I completely agree. And can I just say, I was going back to that article that Brian Baletic sent to us. I mean, to me, this was, again, completely evil. I mean, basically what it demanded was a indefinite prolongation of the Ukraine war. In other words, hundreds of thousands of people dying in Ukraine, Ukrainians, many of them, most of them, in order to somehow weaken Russia. Now, that is, to me, completely immoral. I mean, this is completely wrong, but it is what these people, these neocons, always do. They treat nations and states as pieces on a chessboard. Their Bible, Brzezinski's book, The Grand Chessboard, actually uses that simile. And they show no interest, total indifference to the fates of the people who live in the on what they see purely as squares on the chessboard upon which they're playing. Now, I think that is evil. To me, that is, you know, playing God with people's lives in a way that I find abhorrent.
Vincent says, with all the lies and propaganda regarding everything Russian, I have to wonder, was the Russian doping scandal during the Olympics a lie too?
Not entirely. And here one has to say something, because the Russians themselves acknowledged that there were things wrong. Whether they were worse than what you would find in other places, in amongst other teams, that's, you know, a good question, which was never fully answered. But certainly some sub-athletes were involved in it, and some officials were involved in it, including the man who was the chief doctor, who eventually went to the United States and who seems to have been a very, very dubious character altogether, who should never have been employed in that role in the first place. So, you know, there is something, there is more than a grain of truth there. But the one big major outside investigation that was done into the doping scandal by a former president of Switzerland, who was commissioned to do it by the International Olympic Committee, came back and said, yes, bad things were happening, but the Russian government was not involved, and this was not state-sponsored. Now, that report was, you know, provided, it was delivered, it looked into all of the facts, it interviewed all of the relevant people, and it has disappeared. Nobody remembers it today.
Yeah, it was a setup, in my opinion, Alexander. It was a setup. Yes. Yeah.
Well, indeed, because the individual, the very dubious individual that we're talking about, had connections with the United States as well.
But they let him in. The Olympic Committee in Russia, they let him in.
Probably because he had all these connections with the United States. Yeah. Because this is the time when the Russians said, anybody who has any connections with the United States is somebody we want to have.
Yep. Lada Moreau says, hello, gentlemen. Do you think that Russia's reserves are gone and all words here are clear and some politicians do not touch them are just a performance?
Well, who knows? I would not be at all surprised. It was Alex who pointed out some months ago that the numbers that the Europeans are giving simply don't add up. That all of these loans that they say that they're floating, and you know, the latest loan, the 140 billion euro loan, is on top of all sorts of other loans. Anyway, the loans simply, it's simply impossible to secure loans of this size against the interest that these assets are supposed to be generating. And nobody, of course, talks about this outside our programs, as far as I'm aware of. Nobody asks the questions. And I really do wonder whether the push to actually get hold of the reserves finally is partly because of this. Because, of course, if you've already been dipping in, you've got to somehow conceal the fact in some way. So just confiscate them all. And that way, you clear the books and you move on.
Yeah. I mean, the interest generated per year, they told us, was 1.5 billion.
Yeah.
That's what they said they're going to make from the Russian assets per year on the interest. And that's what they were going to give to Ukraine, 1.5 billion.
Yes.
They've given 10 times more than that on the interest.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is, by the way, the interest, that figure for interest is about what you would expect.
Yeah.
From assets that are really worth 300 billion. So, I mean, it just doesn't.
You said it, 300 billion, right? That's what they told us three years ago, 300 billion. Then it went down to 280 billion. Then it went down to 250, 220, 200, 180, and now it's 140. So, to answer your question, Lada, I think they're telling us how much money is left, 140 of the 300 billion. I think they're telling us that's how much cash is left.
Exactly.
Hawk 23 says Islam is extremely conservative, yet as a group they vote progressive in the West
often. Yeah, that's certainly true in Britain, for example, where the Muslim community historically has supported the Labour Party and left-wing politicians. The reason I suspect is because, for unsurprising reasons, Muslim voters tend to support candidates who are both anti-imperialist, because that is important, and who are, shall we say, softer in immigration.
Eric Lakin says, thank you both so much. Thank you, Eric. Unvaccinated guy says, Charlie was put down by pro-Israeli groups, including his own Turning Point co. Erica met him in Israel through Donald Trump, inside job 100. You want to bet?
Well, I'm not a betting man, so I'm not going to bet, because I never bet on these things. I mean, I know that that theory is there. I have to say, so far, I've not seen any connection between the man who's arrested and the Israeli authorities. I mean, I have to say that. But then this person who's been arrested apparently is pleading not guilty at the moment. So we'll see.
Cameron Hughes says, Charlie Kirk argued with sub-adults and relied on logical fallacy. I'm beginning to find Alexander's ever-growing hubris and sycophancy unbearable.
Well, I mean, if you don't like it, then that's up to
you. Yeah, I mean, just look, I would just say for the Charlie Kirk, I mean, it's playing out. We still don't have, there's so much information that we don't have yet.
Yes.
A lot of information that we don't have. So, I mean, you know, I think there's a lot of investigation left and a lot of doubts.
Yes.
So,
I have to say something else. I mean, you know, debating within student groups, those don't look to me like, you know, sub-adults. I mean, I wouldn't call them that. After all, my wife is an academic and has to deal and argue with students all the time. And, you know, they're not the easiest people to debate and argue with, just to say.
Samuel Moroni says, can Russia win without another mobilization? Now they have 750,000 troops in Ukraine, but in my opinion, they need another 500,000 in order to achieve victory.
Well, I think that they've already said that they don't. I mean, Putin was asked this very question, and he said, we have enough.
DF says, if these elites believe in the free market, why doesn't Greece simply sell the jets for $1 billion each they could use to pay down their debt?
Well, indeed, good question.
Because they don't believe in the free market.
They don't believe in it. Of course they don't. Exactly.
Russell Hall says, leftism is a progressive ideology with no breaks or boundaries. The so-called new left is merely another step along the road. It's in the literature.
Well, yes. I mean, my simple point is that what we have as the new left is very, very different in policy, ideas, and practice from the left that I was once a part of, a left which, as far as I'm concerned, does not exist anymore, and which existed 30, 40, 50 years ago. Now, if you say that there is a continuity, that there is a line from one that leads to the other, you may be right. But all I will say is, if that is a line, then the distance traveled is very far.
Murat Dimov says, when do you think Russia will ask for the frozen assets plus interest to be returned? And what effect do you think this may have on the EU dictator in a skirt?
Well, of course, they ask for the money to be returned all the time. I mean, they made it very clear that they do expect it to be returned. But the Russians have said that the return of the frozen assets must be part of any final peace agreement, which is, of course, one reason why the EU is so unwilling to negotiate with the Russians on their terms.
Sparky says, was it the case during the Cold War, West European countries didn't have such blatant empty-headed puppets in charge as now for fear their citizens wouldn't tolerate it and side with the USSR in disgust?
Absolutely. I mean, I remember throughout the Cold War, I remember the political leaders of that time. I remember how they were real people and serious people. Some of them I agreed with, some of them I didn't. I remember people like Helmut Schmidt and Helmut Kohl and Willy Brandt in Germany. I remember Charles de Gaulle and Georges Pompidou and Giscard d'Estaing and Mitterrand in France. I remember many others. I remember people like Giulio Andreotti in Italy, for example, who was a sinister man in many ways, but not one who was undoubtedly highly intelligent at the same time. So, you know, comparing the Europe of today and the European leaders of today with the European leaders of the past, I mean, it is like darkness and light. It is like, I can't describe it better. I mean, these people that we have today are zeros, literally zeros by comparison.
Fuzzyball says, how propagandized are Europeans to capitulate to Brussels, even if it leads to the destruction of their future? EU doesn't care.
I think many Europeans are not oblivious to what they, what is going on around them. What is very difficult at the moment is to mobilize and give one's beliefs, one's ideas, political expression. Because throughout Europe, the political class has been captured. I mean, look at the incredible Brexit war we had in Britain, for example.
Boa Mega 22 said, Iranian kiddo, this is for you regarding Charlie Kirk. His killer was dating a trans man who was trying to become a woman. Ponder that, please. Commando Crossfire says, I would love more info on the cancer vaccine breakthrough claimed by Russia. If it is as it's claimed, they might start to see medical tourism boom.
Well, they might do. I'm not going to say anything about it because I don't know
much about it. Yeah. Lewis says Trump wants the Nobel Peace Prize because he plans on using nuclear weapons later in his term. We'll use it to justify his actions later in the future on the basis of peace.
I know. Well, I mean, I find it a bizarre thing. My own view, and I'm going to say it, I think the reason he wants the Nobel Peace Prize is because Obama got it. He's in some kind of rivalry with Obama all the time. And I think it is destroying him, frankly. I mean, he should let it go. I mean, the thing itself is worthless. No, he's not going to get it. It's worthless.
They hate him. Yeah.
They hate him.
Imagine the Nobel Committee hates him.
But in any case, it's worthless. I mean, it's the, what was it, Groucho Marxist?
Yeah, but it,
I mean, I don't want to join a club that would have me as a member. I mean, you would not, in no serious political...
Isn't that Trump, though?
...would want the Nobel
Prize. Isn't that Trump's...
Well, absolutely.
Isn't that Trump's greatest his biggest downfall is exactly that. He wants to be part of people that don't like him.
Exactly.
That's Trump, whether it's Bolton, the neocons, the Nobel Committee, the Europeans.
Keith Kellogg,
yeah. All the people that despise him are the exact people he wants to be a part of.
Exactly.
The Falcon says, is the U.S. war in Iran imminent, a false flag?
Yes, I think it is. I mean, I think the latest comments that Trump has been making really point clearly in that direction. And when you say imminent, I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow or next week, but I expect it to happen before the end of this year.
Verlizan says, can neocons multitask? Last time it was kinetic between Iran and Israel and the U.S. People like Graham forgot about Russia. Is Trump's plan to start it with Venezuela to get Graham to forget about Russia?
I don't think so. I don't think Graham will ever forget about Russia. I mean, I think that always he has Russia at the back of his mind.
Yeah. Open Till Dusk says, you know that if the EU... Russia war starts, your properties, investments, and mortgages are going to zero. Are you not worried, Alex and Alex?
Well,
you know, if it starts, we'll handle it. If it starts, it'll probably go nuclear. So I don't know property.
Exactly. I mean, I can't see how it cannot be.
Yeah. If it starts, I wouldn't be worried about property. For anybody, exactly. Should not be worried about property.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Iranian Kiddo says, Kirk was a political agitator and a rage baiter. He would challenge students to prove him wrong just so he could quote unquote own the libs. That was his stick. He wanted to bully, not bait.
Well, I've seen programs and films of him, and that is absolutely not my impression. I mean, to me, he came across as an earnest, serious-minded, and very polite young man. I mean, I don't understand, again, why you are so fixed on this. I mean, why not let this thing rest and see the police investigation through to its conclusion? To repeat again, as far as I'm concerned, the two things that matter is that he did engage in debate and that he was killed during it. Those are the most important things.
YR Saik says, why is Israel information game so bad? They seem like the Confederate agents trying to sell slavery in Europe during the U.S. Civil War.
Because they don't care. I mean, they've stopped caring what people think because they believe, rightly, that whatever they do, they will have the backing of the United States and will be able to get away with it.
And they'll buy up the social media companies.
Absolutely. Well, indeed.
If things get bad, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Radio Constantinopolis says, despite all the talk about belonging with the West, Piraeus has effectively been a Chinese port for more than a decade now. What is going on?
Yeah. Oh, well, I remember when it was bought. I'm not sure what
it was bought
is
before.
Happening before. Yeah. I mean, now I very much doubt that it would be sold if it was up for sale like that today.
Yeah, it would never happen now, but it was bought 10 years ago plus, and Greece was selling everything. I mean, they're still selling everything. They're still selling the entire country to foreigners, but back then it was really bad, and they needed the money. Iranian Kiddo says, Israel is gripped by political struggle since 2018 between the Messianic right and the Likudniks and the left, which at this point is standing on its last leg. War is the only reason holding it together.
Well, you may be right, and I know many people think that, and Alistair Crook, I know, is one of the people who rather thinks that. And that is a very, very, very frightening thing, if it's true, given that Israel is a nuclear power.
Iranian Kiddo says, lots of wealthy, influential people have historically supported Israel. Military complex, AIPAC, and evangelical support are the other factors. Also fear. Lots of people in D.C. fear Israel. Max shed light on that recently. I imagine you're referring to Max Blumenthal.
Yeah, I absolutely. And so did John Mearsheimer, by the way, in a book that I have behind me, which he wrote with his friend Stephen Walt.
Big Wyman, thank you for that super sticker. Kenneth Kowalski says, Polish casualties in Ukraine, assuming 10,000, the total active would be 50 to 100,000. And I don't see that. Majority videos are people speaking broken Polish with accent. I see high officers killed. Explain, please. I'm a Polish married to a Russian woman living in the U.S.
I can't answer this question. I don't know about the, I don't know what the real level of involvement militarily of Poland directly in the fighting has actually been. I get the sense that it peaked quite early on in the conflict, back in 2022, maybe at autumn 2023 to early 2023. Then I remember that the Law and Justice Party began to sour on Ukraine, and I think they began to scale down their level of military involvement in Poland. And then Donald Tusk was elected, and he cranked it up again to a certain degree, though not up back to the previous levels. But I think even in Poland, even Donald Tusk is now reining in again. So I can't give you the full inside story about Polish involvement in Ukraine. Certainly there has been some, and certainly it's been consequential, but I can't give you the exact details, the numbers, the kind of people who were involved or anything of that kind.
I think the Russian government, the Kremlin, put the number of casualties, Alexander. Was it either 2,000 or 3,000?
Yeah, something like that.
It was something around there that was coming from the Kremlin.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what they're saying. But anyway, El Casador said, Australia is raising the retirement age as well. Resource-rich country with no sovereign wealth fund, but a $1 trillion debt. Even the West down under is corrupted. We are getting U.S. nuclear subs. What the F?
Yeah. Absolutely. I know. Yes.
Alexander G says Trump has approved targeting intelligence for long range strikes on Russia's energy infrastructure last week, and the Netherlands bought 163 Tomahawks in March.
Well, there you go. That might be the explanation. But I mean, have those Tomahawks been delivered? And we still have the question, the unresolved question, which, I mean, there might be answers to. How exactly are they going to be deployed in Ukraine? If we're talking about the Typhon system, we've already discussed how that can't really be used. It's not useful for Ukraine. If they have a simpler system to launch them, well, we have no information about it.
I think one thing that we can conclude as a certainty is that long-range missile strikes will happen.
Oh, yes.
Whether they're Tomahawks, whether they're Taurus, whether they're something else, Barracudas, I don't know. That other missile that they were talking about 6 months ago, I forgot the name, Aram or Ezram,
That's right.
Long-range missile strikes deep into Russia are going to happen with U.S. targeting.
Yes.
And so we have to see what Russia's reaction is going to be.
Yeah, indeed.
Iranian Kiddo says, Alexander said something about the Israel question, which I think perfectly sums it up. The mystery is, why does the U.S. leadership allow itself to be taken in by the same thing time and time again?
Well, what can I say further beyond that?
Humming Pylon says, nothing will change until psychopathy goes unchecked.
Well, yes.
Michael Russell says, rather than trying to explain the unexplainable, you can convey the essence of the Trump administration's foreign policy with a single image, Banksy detonator monkey. Banksy. Peter Jackson
says, I'm not sure. I'm starting to have real doubts about whether under Donald Trump, the United States even has a foreign policy. I mean, it seems to change so continuously. And some people try and find a thread to it. People talk about transactional foreign policy. I'm not sure I even see that, to be honest.
Peter Jackson says, what do you think about neoliberalism? This is globalism, open borders, free trade, multicultural, and effectively a globalized America.
I'm against it. I mean, I think we've made that perfectly clear on many programs that we think that neoliberalism is anti-democratic, that it has undermined and eroded institutions within states, democratic institutions in within states, that has created the kind of dysfunctional politics which we have now, which isn't even properly speaking of politics at all, and that in turn has led to dysfunctional economies, which are also in the process of breaking down. So I think it has been an extremely malign thing altogether, and I hope that we will eventually see its end.
Bin Lind says, how is life in Moscow, Alex? Cheers for the Sweden. Normal. Right, Al, you were here too, Alexander. Normal. Yeah. I would say the whole flights thing and the sanctions and the cutting off of flights for Europe and the US to Russia and all that stuff, yeah, is just so stupid. It really is dumb. It's normal here. I wish they didn't have all of these restrictions.
Yes.
Alex Glanz, thank you for that super sticker. Mirka Dursun says, can you give me your thoughts on Oleksiy Aristovich? I've been following him for a while. I would like to hear your view. Thank you so much for your work. I think both of you are adorable.
I think he's an extremely clever man. I think one of the problems Aristovich had was that he was ultimately too clever to work within the Ukrainian system, because I think he eventually found that it was impossible for him to go on talking, saying the things that he did, providing the kind of spin constantly on what was going on that he was doing. And I think that he and Zelensky, as a result, and inevitably, their relationship broke down. And that is why Aristovich left. And I think he's one of the most interesting and insightful voices about the situation in Ukraine today. I don't always agree with him, not by any means, but he's certainly someone to pay attention to.
Yeah. Michael Bison, thank you for that super sticker. Tim Gibson says, I never got the idea that the left had anything to do with Kirk's death. I thought that was only Trump's idea.
Well, what do you, if you mean the left as a political force, the Democratic Party, for example, again, to repeat, I've not seen any evidence of that. If you're talking about the political atmosphere, the set of ideas that are circulating in the United States on the left, well, then that does play a role. And I think it would be difficult to argue otherwise.
Iranian Kiddo says, Cypriot real estate website Anasad reported between 2021 and 2025, Israeli investors purchased 4,000 properties, mainly in Larnaca, Limassol, and Bafos. That's no small change. That's some serious dough. Yeah.
Yeah.
And go back further years, and there was the same type of property purchases. And
yeah,
it comes from a lot of different countries and nationalities.
I think an important thing to say about Cyprus is that it is a financial center and an entrepot. So it is a place where people invest their money. I mean, not just Israelis, Russians, Ukrainians, Britons, I know lots of Britons. So, you know, it's not surprising that this is happening. And I suspect it's been happening for years, because it's what Cyprus is,
for decades. Yeah, I mean, the city of Limassol was practically built by Russian investment. The entire I remember when Limassol used to be nothing, just a couple of homes. I mean, there was nothing there, and then the Russians came in and they just built the city up. Yes. So yeah, and Larnaca is being built up now a lot by Israeli investment. That's true.
Yes,
but
yes.
You know, you pretty much named all the cities in Cyprus, by the way, as well. Bafos is pretty much most of Cyprus. So there you have it, with the exception of the capital, Nicosia. Petros says, one of two, is there hope for Greece to pivot to Russia in the future? Any chance for parties like Spartan to out Nea Demokratia?
I think in the immediate term, bar a major change in the political realities in Europe, realistically, that is not going to happen. If, of course, there is a major change in Europe, if, for example, events in France lead to a destabilization of the European system, which I don't believe it will, not immediately, but if that were to happen, And eventually, I mean, in course of time, it will and must, because the present system in Europe is unsustainable. Well, then, of course, we and the Russians might find ourselves again, find each other again. But for the moment, I just don't see it. I don't know what you think, Alex.
Overtaking na demokratia, that question, not in our lifetime. No, the political establishment in Greece is pretty well entrenched.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, it's hard for any smaller parties to break through, but you know, people are unhappy though too. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people in Greece who just are sick and tired of the existing parties.
Yes.
But right now, the attitude is more along the lines of I'm just not going to vote than that I'm going to support the smaller party. So maybe that'll change. Maybe the attitude will shift. Iranian Kiddo says, I never said that he deserved to be killed. Those are direct quotes from him, and everyone watching can verify that for themselves. It's well documented.
Well, I mean, as I said, I think we've argued this point now exhaustively. I think I've made my views about Kirk very, very clear in multiple places by now.
Two of two, both natural Orthodox allies. Don't forget the McNeagle Patriarch is to blame for severing this tie currently.
We've talked about that in many, many places, and our own feelings about what the Patriarch did, which, frankly, I consider a betrayal, actually.
Yeah, he's not good.
No.
Sparky says, Sahel nations could leave the colonial franc and save money by buying the Bulgarian lev, printing plates, printing presses, coinage, etc. Since Bulgaria is switching to the euro, tell Captain Traore.
I've heard a lot of people say this. I think they will want to do their own currency. And by the way, if you're talking about getting people to help you mint coins and print notes, the Russians have done that for many countries. They're one of the countries. Britain was another, which people turned to. I had a brief acquaintance with a business in London, which was all about printing banknotes, for example.
Iranian Kiddo says, of course, his wife, who's inheriting a multi-million-dollar empire from her husband, obviously would agree with all his remarks. Sorry, but that argument is not valid.
Well, I I've heard other people who knew Kirk argue against your claims about his views on women. I have to say this, Iranian Kid. You seem to have some kind of animus against Charlie Kirk, which I don't completely understand. Just saying.
YouTube sucks, says Alex. Maybe reenact the movie Grease with Alexander in Grease. Flip a coin to see who wears the wig as trans Olivia Newton-John and plays Travolta. LOL.
Oh my goodness, I can't dance or sing, so that excludes that possibility right away.
Double Down says a 3-star system surrounded by edible satellites.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that. YouTube sucks, says Alex, in your best Trump voice, the Duran. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. There you go. Okay. Mark Hewitt says, which way will MBS Saudi Arabia go if Israel attacks Iran again?
That is a very, very good question. I don't think they'll be happy. I think that if there is a conflict between Israel and Iran, the Saudis will be very, very worried that it could escalate and that they would be involved. I think what they would do in the event that such a conflict began, is that they would exert as much diplomatic pressure as they could on the US to try to bring it to an end as quickly as possible.
Miss Texas G says, who's protecting Aristovich? I've always said it's the Russians or at least people in the Donbass.
Possibly. But isn't he based in the US? I mean,
I don't know where he is. Yeah, I know he was in New York for a time. Then up in Italy. Yeah. I have no idea where he is, to be quite honest. Yeah.
Yes. But you're quite right. I mean, saying the things that he says and knowing some of the things that he undoubtedly does, he would probably be somebody who would need to take precautions.
Yeah. Miss Texas G says, could you offer what you think would be the outcome of a U.S. attack on Venezuela? Would it disrupt Latin America and incite them to informally against the U.S.? Also, does it make Americans vulnerable to other Latin American countries?
I think that the immediate reaction across Latin America would be one of anger and shock. And I don't think it would lead to attacks or threats on Americans. And I don't think Latin American governments are keen at the moment to get into a struggle with the United States. Some Latin American governments, like Mexico, for example, are in the process of imposing, of instituting tariff walls, precisely so that they can get the tariff walls that the US is imposing on them either reduced or even lifted. So there's not going to be that immediate, you know, confrontation, but it is ultimately, in the end, it is going to result in a very bad reaction in Latin America. Many, many Latin Americans, I mean, I know some, have a very, very negative view of the history of US involvement in their region. And this will reinforce their views that all the worst practices of the past are coming back. And inevitably, and in the end, that will create a reaction. And I suspect that if Lula remains president of Brazil, and if Brazil continues after he's gone to follow his particular political course, you will see Brazil eventually setting itself up as a kind of protector of the rest of Latin America from the US.
El Casador says, Greek friends come to Australia, starts a statement with, as a European, and my Greek Aussie mate does a backflip. Ursula has done her job. Feta is European now. He then stated, there is no Greece. Sad.
Very sad.
Nikos says, let me be clear. I always admired Russia and I searched for their history via World War II games. I just don't like communism and its current form of neo-Marxism.
Oh, I mean, I understand that. I mean, there are people in Russia who will agree with you. When I went there in June, I mean, I might find this interesting. I had an encounter with a very insightful and very interesting person who was a former Russian MP in the Russian parliament. And she made absolutely clear her very, very strong anti-communism and her hostility to Lenin specifically. She was, interestingly, a little less hostile to Stalin. But, well, I mean, one of her observations was that the Soviet Union was downplayed Russia itself. And her complaint was that Russia was given a name, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, which didn't even refer to Russia, negating the very idea of Russia in the title of the country itself. So, you know, there are Russians who do think in that way, and there are a lot of them, by the way.
Florina says, you see as immoral treating the Ukrainians as pawns in a chess game, but not taking Venezuela's oil and sovereignty.
I consider all of these things immoral. I consider them all profoundly wrong. I'm very opposed.
No, I think, I think the point is that Florina is making is, of the Trump administration.
Absolutely.
They talk about everything with Ukraine and stuff, but then when they're talking about Venezuela, let's just take the oil.
Absolutely. Yes.
Nico says, I don't know if this was the plan, but the U.S. has successfully encircled India via regime changing Bangladesh, Pakistan and Nepal. Have you noticed that?
I think people in India are starting to notice that. Mm-hmm. And people within the Modi government are starting to notice that, too. My very strong advice to anybody in Washington who's thinking of regime change in India, by the way, is don't try it. I know a little bit about India. I'm not going to pretend I'm a huge expert, but I think that this is a very, very complex and sophisticated society indeed. I don't think that that kind of interference, which would to many Indians seem like the reimport into India of colonialism, would play well in India at all. And going back to what Sanjeeva said, I think that there is a general a bipartisan consensus within India about foreign policy and about good relations with Russia.
Arnie D says, at Alexander, not regarding to Ukraine, but would like to ask you for a history lesson on how the Gaza Strip came into existence. Thanks. Great show as always.
Well, the Gaza Strip was part of Palestine. It is part of the territory which, before the establishment of the State of Israel, was a part of the British Mandate of Palestine. Then in 1947, there was the enormous crisis. Israel was established within the British territory of the British Mandate. There was the Nakba, where millions of Palestinians, hundreds of thousands of Palestinians, we're not talking about millions, hundreds of thousands of Palestinians fled from various parts of what had been Palestine and then became Israel. And several of the Arab states intervened militarily in order either to attack and defeat Israel or to grab parts of Palestinian territory for themselves. So Jordan went into this territory and occupied what became the West Bank, and Egypt went into this territory and occupied the city of Gaza. And when the 1967 war happened, the Arab-Israeli war of 1967, the Israelis captured all of this territory, but they didn't annex them. And it was then agreed, as a result of a series of resolutions that were passed through the Security Council, that there would eventually be a two-state solution. And it was accepted that these two places, Gaza, which had been part of Palestine but had been occupied by Egypt, but which then had passed under Israeli control, and the West Bank, which had been part of Palestine but had then been occupied by Jordan and had then been passed under Israeli control, that these places would not be annexed by Israel but would eventually become part of the territory of a future Palestinian state. I am simplifying this extraordinarily complex history prodigiously, almost to the point of distortion. But that is the underlying story, if you like.
Yeah. Spaso Jagger says, hello from Macedonia. Argentina's donate 5 Mirage, some models like Greece, and Greece donates 32 F-16s to Ukraine and 25 Mirage. Is there truth or fake?
Well, I think in terms of Greece, it probably is true. Whether they will indeed or do it in the end, we'll see. About Argentina, I simply don't know, to be honest. I'd have thought Milei is in so much trouble now. I mean, I don't know whether people know, but the run on the peso apparently has resumed and all of those things. And there's doubts about whether the Americans really are coming to the rescue. I think he's got too many things to worry about than donating fighter jets to Ukraine.
From John Roberts, the West seems to be drowning in debt and saddled with demographics of large, older populations. Is this why elites want the migration of immigrants, namely to have a younger workforce?
In some places, they talk about that. In Spain, they do, for example. I mean, the Spanish Prime Minister, Mr. Sanchez, is quite open about this. I mean, for him, a migrancy, which in Spain comes mostly from Latin America, so we're talking about Spanish-speaking people, is a good thing, because it is what keeps GDP growing.
Boa Mega says, them tube does suck. It's not for you anymore. Kirk was honest and welcomed people to talk. He was a college dropout in his first year. Why should university students be unable to debate? He even went to Oxford to debate. They still teach debating there. Seems a fair match. They have months to prepare an argument. He did it on the fly.
Well, as I said, I think I've discussed Charlie Kirk. I mean, I've said what I wanted to say. I mean, I agree with what you've just said. But anyway, I think my views now are fairly well known.
Tsunami Bomb says Ukraine can't launch Taurus cruise missiles either unless the F-16 has been converted to do it by now. Su-24 is the only platform that can launch Storm Shadow, so maybe that has been adapted to launch Taurus too, but I've heard nothing about it.
I've heard nothing about it, but who knows what's going on. Now, the Sukhoi-24, the Su-24s, I gather that Ukraine has perhaps one or two left. So, you know, this isn't really an option, it seems to me.
Miss Texas G asks, will the U.S. be able to hold Venezuela?
Ah, that is a huge question. I don't know. It's a big country. It's a big country.
A huge country. Sampras 1 says, what I am seeing Trump administration doing is going into cities and trying to stamp down on free speech. Crazy to say that the far left is a problem in the U.S. No organization. It's all lone wolf killings. Been a lot of MAGA nuts killing in the last few weeks.
Well, I oppose restrictions on free speech wherever they come from. I know about restrictions on free speech because they've been practiced for the last 10 plus years, mostly conducted by people who I know who have been identifying with the left. But of course, if it is now being suppressed by people on the other side, I oppose it too. But so far, I have to say that the greater part of it, the bulk of it, has come from the left.
Latimer Rose says, any news from Argentina? Is the U.S. still going to bail it out? Thank you.
No, I mean, there's uncertainties about this because I think what has happened is that Scott Bessent and others have looked under the lid and they now started to wonder whether there's ever going to be enough. Bear in mind, I mean, he got, what was it, a $40 billion loan from the IMF back in March. And apparently there's been $20 billion for some other source. And there's an $80 billion just swap line with the Bank of China. I mean, you know, it's not as if Argentina doesn't get support. It gets an enormous amount of support, but it's never enough.
Nico says, constitutionally, Putin can run for a final term in 2030, and he should if he is permitted. Otherwise, I'll miss his speech in May 9th when I visit Russia.
We'll see.
Sparky says, on Charlie Kirk, no matter what he said, didn't say, or its context, nowadays, 31 is practically a kid, so he would have had decades to redeem himself as needed.
True, absolutely.
Very true, Sparky. Yeah, he's so young. Yeah. Sparky, Sticky Mark says, I had another birthday on October 1st, was by myself and felt a tad nostalgic, which reminded me that I once wanted to write a Wile E. Coyote and say that the bird works for Acme. From the crazy XXX. Thank you, Sticky Marks, for that. Yeah. Iranian Kiddo says, culture war in the United States is a very polarizing topic in the age of Trump. It's for best to not get involved with it.
Well, I try not to. I mean, it's a very polarizing thing here in Britain, and it began before the age of Trump, just to say.
Yeah. Imran Kalman says, good day. What is the situation with the digital IDs in the UK?
Oh, my gosh. Coming is the answer. The Prime Minister, of course, is committed to them. I think his party is. I know there is opposition, both from the left and from the right, but it is not as strong as it once was. I think it's coming. I think step by step, it's on the way. And remember, this government has 4 years to go. Plenty of time to do things like this.
Commando Crossfire says, with Venezuela, it's not just oil, but cheap oil. We in Canada also have plentiful oil, but instead of economic investments in us, blow up a weak neighbor and get it for free. Rid of thorn inside, a plus.
Yes, yes. Venezuela, by the way, I mean, not only is it the big, not only does it have the biggest oil reserves, though it's apparently very heavy oil and needs a lot of refining. It's played a very big role in modern history. Many people don't know this, but Venezuela supplied a lot of the oil that was used by the Allied militaries during the Second World War.
Life of Brian says, Trump will spurn the people who love him to court people who hate him. How long can he get away with it?
It's extraordinary that he does this. And as Alex said, it's a compulsion. It is an actual compulsion. But there it is.
Sam Perez One says, I have noticed Trump's age in his last speeches. UN generals, I mean, they are like 50% about how great he is again and again. He never was this incoherent in his ramblings. Do you see that too?
I do, actually. I have to say this. I absolutely do. He does look older. And he also sometimes looks very tired.
Yeah. Sparky says, supposedly the 30-06 bullet, which killed MLK Jr. at a shorter range than Kirk's, ended up inside him, but it hit MLK's jaw, collarbone, and shoulder blade in order to stop.
Yes, you see, these are the things that I can't discuss because it is completely outside my areas of knowledge. I've never even handled a firearm, and I know nothing at all about firearms or how they work. Remember, in Britain, there has always been a taboo about handling or having firearms, and it's the one I was brought up with, and it is very strong. I know that in the United States, people have a completely different outlook. And by the way, I absolutely respect that. But in Britain, because of, you know, the way I've been brought up, I have absolutely no knowledge of these things.
Game of Chair says, what do you guys think about the evangelical Christians giving away their property and money in preparation for the rapture? I think it shows the power of influencers on social media.
I note some extraordinary things that happen, and it happened sometimes they happen prior to social media. When I was still a teenager, the people who lived next door to me, they were husband, wife, and daughter. The wife and daughter fell under the influence of certain people, and they went under that influence and jumped off Beachy Head, the daughter and the daughter and the child together in order to get onto the astral plane. So this happened before social media, just saying.
Iranian Kiddo, at the height of its power, the U.S. couldn't countries of Iraq and Afghanistan. I question their understanding of Iran and the resilience of its 95 million nationalistic people.
I completely agree with you. I entirely agree. I think what the United States risks getting itself into is something that it absolutely doesn't understand. And I think it'll be another debacle. And if it is easy at the beginning, looks easy at the beginning, that's been true of the Iraq war and the Afghan war and other wars. And in a way, that is a seduction. It leads you even further and deeper in, and it brings even greater, makes and ensures that the disaster, when it comes, it's even worse.
Alexander says, thank you for the updates. Thank you for that, Alexander. Okay. Iranian Kiddo says, only Iranians themselves can bring about a change in Iran. It can never be done from the outside. Foreign intervention will always be opposed and continue to fail, just like the last 50 years.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And anybody who knows Iranian history, even on a cursory level, ought to know that too.
Sparky says, parts of Africa possibly breaking the chains of neocolonialism is fascinating to me. I wish them luck. Let's hope the Five Eyes and Mossad don't go on an assassination of regime change spree in Africa.
Well, absolutely. And I agree with you completely. And of course, we know that in an earlier period of decolonization in the early 1960s, they did go on a spree of assassinations in Africa. It is now accepted, admitted by the US itself, for example, that the CIA had a hand in the murder of the heroic leader of Congo who brought Congo to independence, Patrice Lumumba.
Humming Pylon says, Kirk got too ambiguous. Israel does not like ambiguity.
Well, as I said, let's not make accusations which we haven't, even by implication, which we don't have evidence for, that he was changing his views on the whole subject of Israel, Palestine, Gaza. That is undoubtedly the case, that he came under a degree of pressure from friends of Israel Well, the gray zone has talked about that. But that's what we know up to now. We don't know anything beyond it.
Iranian Kiddo says, not at all. No animosities. I just thought the audience deserves to know who Charlie Kirk really was, not the Messiah they're trying to make of him.
I am not sure that anybody realistically is trying to build him up into a Messiah. I mean, somebody who was killed whilst he was trying to conduct a debate, that isn't to build him up into a Messiah. In the Greek sense, a martyr, a witness, is probably closer to the truth.
Life of Brian, all the media had to do during Trump 1 was nothing. Trump would have sold out and damaged populism, and the media would still have power and credibility.
Yeah.
Iranian Kiddo says, I'm afraid many have got it wrong on Nepal. It was a grassroots Gen Z uprising against corruption and nepotism in a country gripped with poverty. Blocking social media was the tipping point.
It's both things. It is both that and a regime change operation. About the second, I've no doubt as well. But always, and this is the point to make about color revolutions of this kind, they always can only work where there are genuine grievances to work on. And those absolutely did exist in Nepal.
Erd Vejas, thank you for joining the Durand community. Iranian Kiddo says, U.S. supports Nepal's current democratic system since 2000 and invests millions in its economy. If this was U.S. backed, well, it certainly worked well for protesters, didn't it? The parliament is dissolved and elections are scheduled.
But the point about it was, of course, that Nepal was starting to change direction. And I think that was probably what triggered it.
One second. From Sparky, deleting innocent fishermen in their boats is an effort to provoke a kinetic response from Venezuela to give the U.S. an excuse to invade. Is this crude and primitive technique inspired by Israel?
Well, I don't think it needs to be inspired by Israel. I think the United States has a long history of doing this in South America that goes back well beyond the establishment of the State of Israel, just to say.
Double Down says, oh my God, the small emoji flags are hard to read. Iran is a collection of 1,000 mini states. How strong is the center? The Muslim population is nearly 300 million. The Russian strategy might work there. I think I got the flag right, but I have a hard time seeing it.
As I understand it, the Persian, I'm probably using out of date language, but the Persian part of the population is around half, but that there is and has always been in this region, in Iran, a sense that despite the fact that Iran is a nation of many peoples, it is nonetheless a nation.
Arnie D, thank you for that super chat. Stephen G says, what are your thoughts on Turkey stationing an additional 100,000 troops in Cyprus, deterrence or precursor to something to come? We'll see.
Posturing is my opinion. Never underestimate him and what he might do. But I don't see why he would want to escalate a situation with Cyprus at the moment, just to say.
Rude Three Trees says, living in the UK, I don't think I've ever seen a country that hates its own population this much and is this dysfunctional, yet wants to start and get involved in wars everywhere. Madness.
It is madness, and it is very strange. And why the British still have this empire complex decades after the empire ended, I don't know. But the fact is that they do. It's partly, I think, because of the way in which the British state is organized, which, as has been pointed out to me by several people who worked in it, the British civil service political machine is really organized to run an empire more than a country. And it's never been reformed and changed and adapted for a more domestic purpose.
Monty 105 says, is the omission of the filioque the main thing that distinguishes Orthodoxy from Catholicism?
I think there are many, many other things too. And I think if you reduce it to just two words, as some people do, then I think you're missing the point, actually. I mean, Orthodoxy and Catholicism are actually profoundly different. Obviously, they're both Christian, but there are fundamental differences between the two.
Iranian Kiddo says, I don't know about Cyprus, but as someone who's been to Greece, I tell you that gentrification is having horrific impacts on local people. You can literally see it, and it's fueled by foreign investors.
Probably not something I would notice myself, but if you mean gentrification, people, outsiders taking over houses in Greece, absolutely. And Greece, by the way, has a very, very active golden visa program now, and is pitching it heavily to Britons who want to get it in order to be able to go inside the European Union. And it is all over the place. I mean, I know lots of estate agents who are in this business.
John Jay, thank you for that super sticker. Black Cat, thank you for that super sticker. Sparky says, I'll be glad if Milei's rule is cut short before he destroys Argentina's wonderful culture by monetizing it and turning it into a kind of Disney World shadow of its former self.
I get to say something. Argentina, I've never been there, and I don't know many people from there, but my sense is that this is a country that always somehow manages to keep going and get through. So this is going to be another chaotic and very disruptive episode in the history of this beautiful country. But I think Argentine culture will survive it.
Harry Menon, thank you for that super chat. Michael B., thank you for that super sticker. Iranian Kiddo says, they come in, buy the whole block, tear it down, turn it into boutique hotels or luxury condos, outpricing the local residents in the process.
Yes. Well, I've heard this, and I've heard that some of the islands are being spoiled.
Greece, Cyprus, I think a lot of places in Europe, especially Southern Europe, are undergoing exactly what you're saying, Iranian Kiddo. I mean, locals are priced out of buying a home, an apartment.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the big problem with everything that's going on.
Yes.
The people of the country can't buy a place.
Yes.
Sparky says, forget about the oil. Isn't Venezuela's greatest asset to their beautiful women? They were when I was a young man.
Well, possibly. But I still think Mr. Trump is mostly focused on oil. Always has been. He's very into where the oil is.
Yeah. Davos 9, thank you for that super chat. Iranian Kiddo says, Alexander once said Greece was lush and green during his childhood. Was he referring to the effect of climate change?
Possibly, but that is how I remembered it. I think that a lot of things have changed in Greece since my childhood. And one of the things that have became far more common starting from the late 70s. And it's been suggested to me that the reason fires became so common in the Greek countryside was because people no longer lived in the countryside as they once did. And when there were communities living in the countryside, they knew how to clear the undergrowth and things of that kind, which prevented the fires taking hold in the way that they do today. And that, I think, has changed the landscape. I mean, an island like Spetses, for example, which I remember as being extremely green, is now barren.
Yeah. Ronald B. says, if a government hates its own population, what better policy for it than to start multiple wars?
True enough.
John Roberts says, I heard there was something like a general strike in Milan, Italy recently. Is that true? What is the situation in Italy?
Yes, there was. And I have very little information about it. And it's something really that we need to look into, because my own sense is that the glow is coming off Meloni. I think that she's starting to slip in Italy. She came in with enormous goodwill behind her. There was enormous relief when she was there. The economy seemed to stabilize for a time. The budget deficit fell, and things appeared to be getting better in a kind of a way. But I think the problems are now accumulating again. They're affected, like all of Europe is, by the high energy prices. And I get the sense that the mood is shifting.
She went full globalist.
Yeah.
Game of Chair says America has forgotten that Venezuela used to provide free heating oil to U.S. families under Chavez.
It has
Sparkus. Sparkus says, do you remember Thomas Sankara, who renamed Upper Volta to Burkina Faso? He seemed to have a progressive vision, but he may have been ahead of his time as he was taken out in 1987.
I remember him very well. I remember him extremely well. And I think you're basically right. I mean, he was a well-intentioned man, but he was far ahead of his time.
Double Down says, I meant to ask about India being pressured like Russia.
Yeah. Well, go on. I mean,
that was a question that I couldn't read the flag. I couldn't see if it was an Iranian Indian. My mistake, Double Down. Sorry about that.
Pressuring India would be absolute and utter folly. I mean, there are the four biggest economies by purchasing power parity are China, India, the United States. China, the United States, India, and Russia. So the United States is going to be in an economic war with all one of the four is going to be in an economic war with the other three. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Hayes Grace Tide says, with the current state of the world overall, it makes you wonder what all we were told the truth about before the advent of social media.
Well, that is a very, very good question. I wonder a lot about that myself.
Yeah. Iranian Kiddo says, Baluchistan region of Iran neighboring Pakistan is the only problematic part of Iran with an active terrorist network, but Baluch ethnics are only 2% of Iran's population.
Yes, I've heard that too.
Commander Crossfire says, Alexander, are you going to be trick-or-treating this Halloween?
No, but my children are.
Matthew says, can you chaps give us some optimism?
Well, let's go back to that Ryan Beletic article, because it said that there's only 4 years. We only have 4 years in which to reshape the world. So we have four wild years ahead of us. But provided we get through those and we get through to the other end, the other side, then even the neocons admit that the game is lost. So, and from our point of view, it is won. So, you know, we've got these four very difficult years to get through. But, you know, if we can keep going, four long years, but if we can keep going at the other side, things will begin to get better.
Ronald B says, do you think there will be any meaningful reaction from the US if Israel used nuclear weapons against Iran?
I don't even want to start thinking about those kind of possibilities. I don't know what the US will, how the US will respond. But if nuclear weapons are used, then I can tell you for an absolute fact, the world the day after is different.
Iranian Kiddo says, Kurdistan region had some problems in the 80s, but it's been pretty quiet. Most problems originate from the Iraqi side of Kurdistan, where foreign services operate and try to infiltrate into Iran. Kurds are only 10% of the population.
I've heard this too. And of course, I've also heard something else, which you may be able to confirm or not, which is that Iranians and Kurds, that the Kurdish is an Iranian language and closer to Persian. And that there is actually quite a degree of understanding between Iranians and Kurds as well. Mm.
Alexander, I think we got everything. So let me just do a final check and your thoughts. An amazing live stream. Amazing questions, amazing comments. Fun live stream.
A very fun live stream. But as I said, let's not give way to despair or anything of that kind. Emmanuel Todd has written as well that the war in Ukraine is also reshaping the world. And ultimately in positive ways, however tragic the war itself is.
Yeah, things are changing. Gold at 4,000, Alexander.
Well, indeed, yes.
And that's got to mean something.
Well, indeed, and all sorts of worries now about the stock markets in America and what that means. I'm not going to go there. This isn't, again, something that I feel able to talk about. But
no, but it means a lot when it comes to the reserve currency, confidence in the reserve currency, confidence in the West, the fact that things are shifting.
Yes, yes.
That the elites, people with money, are putting it into gold.
Yes, yes.
They're not confident anymore.
They're not confident anymore. Exactly.
Sparky says, by taken out, I mean Tom Sankara was assassinated. I've gotten too accustomed to euphemism language to get around YouTube's variables.
You're absolutely right. Yes.
Yeah. Jack Ridley, thank you for that super sticker. And that is everything.
So thank you to everyone for joining us on this live stream.
Thank you to everyone for joining us on this live stream. Thank you to our moderators, Zariel and Peter and Harry Smith and who else? I think that's everyone that was moderating. So thank you to them and to everyone that watched us on Odyssey and Rockfin and Rumble and YouTube and the Duran.locals.com. Once again, Alexander, tomorrow your live stream. Time for your live stream on Locals.
1400 hours EST, 1900 hours London time.
Join Locals, everyone. To join Locals is free. A lot of people always wonder, is joining Locals? Well, no, it's free to join. And there are subscription tiers, but to join Locals, just look at the link down below in the description box and join Locals, and you could listen to Alexander's stream tomorrow. Okay. That's everything. Yeah, that is everything. Take care. Take care, everybody. Yeah.